Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In.
You have always been a voice of reason through all of this.
Appreciate your time, what you're doing for America.
I give you advice. And doesn't work at all.
You are definitely not inept by any means.
I like to hear women say that about me.
Whatever advice you're going to send my way, I am 100% taking it.
I can't tell you what to do. I will not tell you what to do.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That wasn't the answer I wanted.
Are you kidding me?
Great stuff, Dr. Ray. I'm glad I called.
I've scheduled my day around listening to your radio show.
You don't have to laugh so hard.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
You recall the Peanuts cartoon with Lucy Van Pelt, who has her little stand, The Doctor Is In, 5 cents. Lucy Van Pelt. How old was she? I don't know, probably 8, maybe 9. Charging them a nickel. I don't charge anything. That's it. It's free. Now, it doesn't say it's necessarily good. Pays your money, takes your chances. But I do appreciate your company. The number to get onto the program, as always, number hasn't changed for 20 years. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you would like to ask a question about something or someone, some circumstance in your life. Now, obviously, this is not therapy. We're not going to diagnose. Certainly not going to intrude if you're talking to any counselor or therapist type. But, you know, there's a lot of times when just one slight switch in the way you approach something sets in motion a cascade of changes for the good. It's kind of one of the themes of my marriage book. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Tiny little things you can do to dramatically improve your marriage. Now, one of the things I do in the book that I don't do here on the show is that I don't necessarily work hard to get you over your resistance. In the book, I spend 80% of the book saying, okay, here is something you can do that will dramatically improve your marriage, and then 80% of the time I say, okay, here's why you won't do them. I call them resistance rationales. Now, we don't have time to get into resistance rationales here. Or you can call in to say, I have a generic question, something about psychology, or sometimes even about faith, or the intersection of psychology and faith. I like generic questions. Somebody asked me once, what do you think of Frasier on TV? That's a generic question. Or, Dr. A, I've got a complex struggle trying to figure out what do they mean by saying my kid shows signs of ADHD. What is that? What's it all about? How do they know that? How do they assess it? Where's the blood work? Generic questions. Sometimes you can call in to help others. People do that a lot. Sometimes they stay off the air. They'll say, okay, Dr. Ray didn't mention this. How about this? And then usually Eric Dumont, my call screamer, will tell me somebody called in and said, mention this, you big dummy. Well, they didn't say you big dummy, but it was unspoken. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'd very much like to hear from you. When I was 25, right after World War II had ended, I had an internship at the Brecksville VA. Veterans Administration Hospital. I remember the first time I saw the VA, I was about 13 years old. I was driving up to a Cleveland Indians baseball game at the old Muni Stadium that fit 80,000 people. And you had to watch where you sat because you could sit behind a big steel support. Okay, I'm going to digress for a second. I was about 11. Indians were playing the Yankees. I went down, leaned over the railing right next to the visitor's dugout. There was a gentleman standing there, looked like a coach. And I handed him a little rubber ball. Can you have Mickey Mantle sign this? And the Mick himself took that ball and signed it. The cherished, cherished piece of my childhood. Interestingly enough, it was stolen. Stolen by another kid. Yeah. stole my Mickey Mantle autograph. But anyway, back to it. Driving up to Cleveland, we had to take Route 21 because Interstate 77 hadn't really been built yet. And I saw the VA, seven huge buildings, the biggest hospital I ever saw. And I had an internship there. I had a friend that I worked with named Rudy. Rudy was a funny guy. And I had a smoking cessation group. And Rudy said that he looked in the little window through the door of my smoking cessation group, and he couldn't see anybody for all the cigarette smoke. Well, I had a basic life group. First session, there was a guy in there who'd spent time in prison. I don't remember his offense. Something pretty serious, though. Within, I don't know, 2 minutes, he said to me, "You ever been in prison?" I said, "No." "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 25. I wanted to say 25 and a half, but I thought, no, that'd be pandering. It wouldn't make much difference to him. And he said, "What are you going to tell me then?" Now, he was operating out of philosophy that is very prominent now. It's kind of it's a cliche, and it makes absolutely no sense. His view was, I couldn't offer him anything of help because I didn't know what it was like to have been in prison. Here's what I said. I said, "You're right. I've never been in prison. I wasn't married yet." "No, come on. Take it easy. I'm just teasing." My wife's going to text me here. I know it. I said, "But because I haven't been in prison, maybe I can help you. What kinds of decisions, what kind of choices, directions, moves that I've made help keep me out of prison?" I was on, oh boy, I really am reluctant to admit this. I used to do a lot of national media, secular national media. One of the shows I was a repeat visitor on was, gasp, Jerry Springer. Yes, yes, Dr. Ray, how could you? This was before Jerry kind of dove into the sewer with some of his topics. And this particular topic, they called me up and they said, "We'd like you to talk about raising teenagers." Okay, that's right in my wheelhouse. Okay. So one of the questions asked by Jerry or somebody was, "What about disrespect?" And I offered a suggestion. I said, "What about an essay writing every time for disrespect and what they could do otherwise?" There was a lady on there with me, and she turned to me because she thought that was just so ridiculous. Just ridiculous. "Do you have any teenagers?" I said, "No, not yet." Now, I got to regress here for a second. She first asked, "Do you have any children?" I said, "Yeah, I have six." Now, the audience at that point turned on her. In your face, basically. But she was not to be cornered. She said, "Are any of them teenagers?" And I said, "No, not yet. We only had six kids at that time." The audience then turned on me. Either way, the reigning philosophy was, if you don't walk in someone's shoes, you really can't give them the best advice. So don't go to a priest asking about your marriage, because he hasn't been married. And if you're a woman, don't go to a priest, because he's not a female. Okay? I've never been in trouble with the law that I know of, and I wasn't an out-of-control adolescent, never kicked out of school. So I think the only people I could really deal with are older psychologists who've been married to the same woman who have a bunch of kids. When people say, have you ever, what they're really saying is, I don't want to hear your advice unless it is agreeable to me. Unless you commiserate, unless you acknowledge that the way they're handling things are the absolute best way to handle them. You offer no other direction that they could find either difficult to hear or difficult to do. I don't know how that idea has gotten such widespread acceptance in our culture. My first book was a book titled You're a Better Parent Than You Think. I wrote it when I was at a mental health center because I saw so many parents coming in struggling with guilt and second-guessing and corroded authority. Wrote the book. I started it when I was 28, finished it when I was 31. I didn't get married until I was almost 32. So given that, I didn't have any kids, and I wrote the book. Now I go back and I look at that book. Do I think, whoa, I can't believe I said some of this stuff. Boy, oh boy, I should have waited until I had kids. No, not really. Much in the book is similar to things I have believed and experienced since, with my own kids, with working with many more parents. It was an observation. This is what I saw. Yeah, if you have walked a mile in somebody's shoes or even a block, you can understand perhaps their emotions. And you might be able to share your own experience about that. That's all helpful. But the idea that you can't offer somebody something of value unless somehow, some way, you've been in their exact circumstances makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So please, any of you who are calling me because your grandchildren don't want to see you, I can't help you. Because so far, my grandchildren want to see me. So can't help you. That's it. Don't call. See what I mean? Makes no sense. All right, got some calls up there. 877-573-7825. Thank you for joining me.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
Better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure. Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
going to tell the dear folks waiting who called early, I will get to you. Thank you for your patience, but I have someone here, Daisy, who called with a piggyback on my opening monologue. Daisy, how are you? You're getting unsolicited advice from all kinds of people who have never walked in your shoes.
Not all kinds, but yes, that's correct. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, nothing gaining on me. When I say that, nobody gets it. That's a line from Satchel Paige, who pitched for the Cleveland Indians back in the 40s. Satchel was this elderly black man, great pitcher, and people would say, Satchel, how you doing? He'd go, nothing gaining on me, which is what you want. So anyway, Daisy, so you got a special needs kid, and people are giving all their opinions, huh?
Well, a little bit. You know, my family tries to be understanding, but my child is 15, and cognitively he's 3. Also, I'm a speech-language pathologist, and I worked in special ed for 30 years, about. And anyway, so I dealt with a lot of other special educators as well. And a lot of times, like, the classroom teachers now, it's a center-based program, and or just relatives, oh, well, I get it because I work with these types of children, and it just drives me a little bonkers. But I try to not respond with, you do not know because you don't live it. Because being with somebody 8 hours a day is different than never getting a full night's sleep because they might have seizures, or they might just be awake because they're on so many meds that are, you know, things like really, truly, you can't possibly understand. At the same time, I realize if you're asking for somebody's opinion, which is what you were talking about, it's different than just saying, yeah, you haven't walked in my shoes.
Why do you think that they preface their advice by saying, well, I understand, I get it? Why do you think they do that?
Because of their experience with working in a school setting is typically the reason, I would think. And they're probably trying to be helpful.
Okay, so they think they have somewhat expertise in this.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the technique that works for me. Hate to use that word. Maybe a response. A lot of people will tell me what I should have said, what I didn't say, what I don't understand, what I didn't experience. They'll tell me this. And so what I do here, Daisy, is I just listen. And I'll say, well, thank you, that might be real helpful. And that's it. I more or less decide, okie dokie, if it's something I think I can use, great. If I don't, I just ignore it. That's what I would do. I try not to take it personally. I try not to take it as, no, listen. You're giving me advice on your one kid, and I've seen 722 with that same problem. So don't try to tell me, no, don't do that. That's just foolish. So I would suggest maybe you do it too. You just smile and nod and let them think that they know what it's all about. If you find the advice helpful, great, take it. If you don't, just kind of smile. Besides, they probably think you're all burnt out anyway, so if you just smile, they figure she doesn't even understand what I'm saying.
There you go. That sounds awesome. Thank you. I love that idea.
Thanks, Daisy. I'll talk to you.
Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we used to do that when I used to play the organ in various supper clubs. The owner or the manager would come over. Now, I want you to play this, and then I want you to do it this way, and then I think you need to... And we'd nod. We'd just say, okay, sounds good. That's what we'll do. And then we did what we wanted. All right. Let's go to Pam. She called right at the top of the show, and even though I don't take calls necessarily in the order chronologically that they came in, and we got some good calls up there, so please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. But let's go to Pam, because she's been patient for the last 20-some minutes. Hey, Pam.
Oh, hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking the call. I listen to you frequently. So
I don't listen to me frequently. Go ahead.
Well, maybe you should. So anyway, I am calling because I've been married to a really good guy for about 47 years. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse practitioner for 20 years and a nurse for, my gosh, 35 years. But so I'm pretty nurturing. But after I married him, I realized that I found out his mother was not nurturing very much at all, quite critical of her children. And so that's been an issue through the marriage. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. It's hard for him to really even be that close to me, and I'm the closest to him of anybody, I think. But anyway, the other night, he knows I'm very afraid of fire, because I had some experiences with fire when I was younger, and our AC unit outside was surging, and I was, you know, it was, the light was flickering in the one room, and I said, I keep hearing this surging sound. It was time for bed, and first he didn't believe me, and then he said, ah. So he comes in the room, and he listens, and he heard it as well. And I said, I'm really afraid to go to sleep because I'm afraid that could start an electrical fire or something while we're sleeping. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep. This is making me nervous. And he was pretty irritated with me at that point. But I said, can you please just turn off the unit because I don't trust it. Well, he eventually did turn off the unit. And we found out the next day that there was a mouse in there that had gone in there and chewed wires. And we had to have work done on it.
Did he say, Pam, I'm glad you made me do it. I didn't want to, but you did, and you were right?
No. Mm. No, he didn't even say, thank you for, you know, letting me know that. No, he never would. He doesn't apologize for anything. He never says, thank you for letting me know that, anything like that.
Okay, hold on. You're confusing me, Pam. You know why?
No.
Because in your second sentence, I believe it was, you said he's a very good guy.
Well, he is a good guy. He's a good provider. He's, you know.
And you've been married 40, did you say 42 years?
Seven.
47 years. Okay. So I'm going to assume you're not going to leave him. That safe assumption?
Probably not at this point.
Okay.
I'm just looking for how can I calm myself when I get no.
Oh, yeah, easy.
You know.
Don't take it personal.
Cuddling or, you know, compassion.
What you can say is, this is very much what I would like. Now, I'm not saying this to him. You say it to yourself. It's very much what I would like. But 47 years has told me I don't live with a guy like that.
Correct. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So here's the question. And I know you could probably smack me for this. Why are you still tormenting yourself about this after 47 years?
Well, I'm doing better with that, and I just did some deep breathing and tried to relax and calm myself down about it and said that, you know, I just have to self-soothe because that's all I got.
Well, here's what I think you're doing, Pam. If he really loved me, he wouldn't be like this. I've told him many times how much this means to me, and it makes no difference to him. Makes no difference. So what does it really say about him, about us? That's what you're doing. He doesn't apologize. I don't know why he doesn't apologize. I'll tell you, I think why guys don't apologize is they're insecure, but that's another story.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah, you can't admit he's wrong. You just can't. It's just it's too much admit, too big a rock to put on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would say, my dear. You've been married 47 years, and obviously there is stuff that is not there in your relationship that you'd very much like to have there. But it's not. And try as you might, he just doesn't do this. Now, you think it's because of his mom. I'm not sure about that. It could be other factors. It could be just the way he's wired. But you're going to have to stop taking it personal. That it means he doesn't love you. It means he doesn't care. It means he doesn't at all think about what you'd like. You can't do that. You keep doing that, my dear, and you're just going to frustrate yourself terribly. You got to say to yourself, I'm not getting that out of him. And so whatever I do get, I'll take as a bonus. I thank you for your patience there, that you are there, Tony and Diana. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program, the halfway mark. And so we can get another bunch of folks calling in. That's always great. Diana is heading into the lion's den. Uh-oh. She doesn't know what she's going to confront. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've heard you say that, you know, like the last caller, don't let it bother you. And so I've been really working on that toward my sister. But I just want to know, what is the best way to react when she says things? And the way she's not outwardly insulting. She says things like, she'll talk to my cousin sitting next to me and say, we ought to plan a trip. We ought to plan a cruise.
And we don't want Diana to go.
Exactly. So it's that kind of, you know, backhanded slap on my face that I'm sitting there and I just kind of look at her and just have no expression on my face because I'm seriously thinking, why are you being so rude? So I just was, and I was kind of hoping you could tell me maybe why she might be doing, like, you don't know her personally, I understand that, but maybe you could say, oh, well, it could be this or it could be that reason why she's acting like this.
Well, because I am a highly trained professional observer of the human condition.
Which is why I called you.
Thank you, my dear. There is one idea that popped into my head immediately. You might want to write this down because it is pretty profound. She
okay.
might not like you very much.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's true. But what's clear is she doesn't go out of her way to make you feel welcome or liked. True?
True.
Okay. So if somebody doesn't go out of their way to make you feel welcome or liked, you might say, well, there's some slippage in her liking me. How long has this been this way?
I really started noticing it when she was going through a divorce, and she's really very well liked. Like most of my family, they have, you know, they really like her. They like spending time with her. Everybody enjoys her company, and when we are alone, when it's just like her and I, or her and my husband and I, or with my parents, she's fine for the most part. But it just seems like when other people are around, she doesn't really talk to me that much. She doesn't address any questions to me. She doesn't. It's just, it's kind of, like I said, it's that passive aggressive kind of thing.
Either that or she can just relate to you when it's just you and her, but when there's other people there, she's going to relate to them because she likes them better.
Yeah, right.
How many years has this been going on?
Probably around 5.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe a little bit longer.
Is there something about you, Diana, that is different from the rest of your family?
Well, not sure, but I probably got into my faith a little stronger.
I knew it.
But she is also faithful. She's got a divorce. She got the annulment. She's dating a man. She's not sleeping with him. She is faithful.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second now. I don't want to dispute ya. But if you say she's faithful and she is does not have the annulment yet, and she's dating some guy?
She does.
Oh, she does. Okay.
She has it. It was granted. Yeah.
Misheard you.
Yeah.
So, for whatever the reason, possibly, she just doesn't like your brand of faith and the way you express it. and the rest of the family is a little more loose about it.
Or not at all.
Yeah, or not at all. There you go. So they're a lot more easy about this. And maybe, okay, hold on. Back when the divorce happened, she impugned to you an attitude that she saw as, and I'm not saying you did this, I'm just simply saying in her sensitivity, you were judgmental, you were more judgmental than the other, she knew you didn't approve. Is that possible?
I suppose it's possible. I don't really know, but I guess it's possible. I was not against, well, actually, he left her, so I mean, there wasn't anything she could do. So.
Well, if you're asking me why she's doing this, I have no idea. But what is apparent is she does it. All right. So that when other people around, you slip. You're not priority anymore. You're down number three or number four. You're low dog. Okay. You're going to see her. Know that she's going to do this. Prepare for it.
Right.
So it doesn't shock you. So when she does it, you say to yourself, well, okay. That's what she does. I probably will never have an easy, close relationship with my sister. I'd like to. Isn't that what sisters are supposed to be for? But when it's not there, and you say to yourself, I'm going to go see her, and geez, here we go again. I don't know what she's going to do or say, and I have to brace myself. Yeah, either that or you just simply say, what do I expect? If she doesn't do that, oh, that'd be great. But if she does, it's no different than what she's done before.
Right.
It's kind of like saying, I don't want her to do that. Yeah, you got to talk to yourself. I don't want her to do that, and I got that part of it. But it's a big step to say, because she does that, I have to be upset. You don't.
Right. Okay.
That's big. Remember, my dear, you can't stop anybody from doing or saying what they're going to do or say. And these people who do this oftentimes are the closest people in your life. And you say to yourself, they shouldn't be doing that. Well, yeah, they shouldn't, but they are.
Yeah.
There's what throws you. So go see her. Visit with her. And if she doesn't do any of that side comment stuff like, hey, I want to get together with you, but not with old Diana over there. Okay, no surprise. If she doesn't do that, okay, you got a bonus. She didn't do it this time around.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean she won't do it next time. She didn't do it this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the sibling she's with, she likes less than you, you know? No, I don't know that. I don't think... It doesn't sound like she dislikes you. It just sounds like there's something that she's latching onto, and you're probably not going to know it. She won't ever tell you. EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. A lot of great folks there. All right, we got some comments here on my opening monologue, which was about the belief, the false belief, that you have to have walked in somebody's shoes to know how to give them good advice. If you haven't lived what they've lived, at least somewhat, then your guidance could be questionable. Now, this is interesting because I am not taking this personally. Tony from South Bend, Indiana, he says he thinks he knows why people do this. And Eric, my call screamer, put, here's the exact thing that's up there. He said, I think I know why people say the thing you were talking about. And then Eric put in parentheses, I don't know what you were talking about because I wasn't listening. Okay, Eric, you want to stumble your way through life psychologically speaking, go ahead. Tony, South Bend. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling good. Thank you, sir.
Yes, my comment, I just want to agree with you. And the reason being, I recall being a young child and I was chastising my sister for a moral action that she did, and she said, "Well, Tony, you will not understand because you've never been through this." And I told her, "Well, I have never been burned by fire, but I don't have to have done that to know that the fire is hot and it will hurt." I believe that people say this because of shame. Shame is a very pervasive thing that forces us to only take advice from a certain, it forces us to do a great many of things, but the idea that you must walk a mile in my shoes is only because of shame. I feel, or a person feels more easy speaking to someone who has been through it than someone who has not, and that is because of shame. Now, how do we get here?
Hold on a second, Tony. Wait a minute. I need some clarification. Yes. What do you mean by they feel shame if they're talking to somebody who hasn't had their experience? What do you mean by shame?
Well, someone who a person who does an action that is questionable, if you seek advice from a person, I'll give you a good example. One, maybe even myself. If I have a choice of finding a counselor, this counselor has been married for 40 years, has six great kids, and all the children went to college and have successful, happy lives, and successful, happy relationships, or the other counselor who I have a choice for. This counselor was divorced at 25. This counselor may have had other made similar poor choices as me. I feel comfortable, and there's less, a little or no shame in speaking to this counselor because he, quote unquote, has walked a mile in my shoes. It's not about the qualifications, because a reasonable and prudent person would say, I should choose the first counselor because he has navigated life with better success than I have.
Tony, let me throw you a curveball. The counselor who's been divorced and has made the same mistakes as you made, what makes you think they'll have any better guidance than the person who has lived better?
I do not. I think the person who has lived better would give me better guidance.
You just wouldn't feel as bad going to the other person who, in your mind, was as wretched as you were.
Exactly. That shame is the one that makes me not think so reasonably.
Okay.
The shame affects my decision, and we need to get over that.
All right, so I got that angle, that motive, which is I'm going to be emotionally reluctant to hear what you have to say because I'm struggling and you're not. So in your advice, I'm sensing that there is some judgment there, that you're telling me I'm living poorly or making bad decisions because you don't make those decisions. Is that what you're saying?
Not, I'm sure a good, for the most part, I'm sure that a good many part of this, they would say yes, it's because I think you are judgmental. But in whole, I think we wouldn't even consider the possibility of this said counselor even being able to understand all of the nuances of the depths of my decisions. We wouldn't even we wouldn't even consider him capable of understanding because of those two things. One is a shame, and we don't think he's competent because he has not experienced what we have.
I'll tell you what, my friend. If I had to experience as a counselor everything everybody came to me with, I would be a babbling mess. I would be of no good to anybody whatsoever if I can only, quote-unquote, emotionally relate to what they're saying. But at the same time, because I'm not in their shoes, I can't give them good guidance. Most of the people who come to me, Tony, I've not experienced any of that at all. And so to say that somehow my advice would be somewhat deficient because I haven't exactly paralleled their experience? I'm gonna have to ponder that one, Tony. Hey, thank you for your call, my friend. God bless you. I'll be back. Got some folks want to talk, and one of them wants to compliment me, so I'll probably jump all over that call.
Another year has come and gone, and whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
The truth is this. None of us will ever live long enough to learn from our own mistakes. We must learn from each other. That includes heeding the advice from others. I ask questions. It's not only because I'm a trained journalist and a certified life and leadership coach. It's because I'm a curious person. I want to know things. I also realize there's so much I don't know. Pride not only prevents people from learning, it's one of the seven deadly sins. It takes humility to admit you don't know the answer or that you made a mistake. There's nothing shameful about humbling yourself in the Lord, asking for forgiveness, seeking counsel, and getting advice. Don't perish in pride. Find your potential by pursuing the knowledge of others. As Christians, we are meant to be in community. I pray that God brings the people in my life to lead me in the direction He wants me to go, because I realized a long time ago I don't always know where to turn. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
This doesn't happen very often. Matter of fact, we used to have a line distinctly targeted for this, but the people at EWTN and Ave said, no, you're wasting the line, because we just simply don't get calls on that line. So Ann from Buffalo would have been put on the compliment line, but we no longer have a compliment line, so we had to put her on the critical line. That gets used a lot. But hopefully she snuck through. Hello, Ann.
Hi, you're just a riot, Dr. Ray. You brighten my day, and you just make me see things differently sometimes. And I just wanted to call and say I could totally relate to the woman with the AC unit that had an issue. My husband is identical. I called you 6 months ago. I'm going to be married 47 years this year. I'm a nurse.
Like her.
And my husband is just, I mean, he's a smart guy. He can, you know, get me anywhere into this, you know, any state and drive wherever. He's just so smart. He's smart with accounting, we're both retired now, but we're both kind of disabled, hobbling around. And but his way of dealing with stress, which was driving me crazy, he would just rant and rave and get it all out of his system and dump it on me. And I called and said, how do I turn it off? I just can't deal with it anymore. And I said, just this morning, I was, he's been yelling at me for 2 days. He had an eye infection, and I called the doctor, and they gave him ointment and stuff like that. And he critiques everything that I do, putting it on, how it works, yada, yada, yada. But he would never go to the doctor, so I have to kind of pussyfoot around that and get him treatment and, you know, make him go in when necessary. But today he was just up beside himself, ranting and raving for 2 days. And I'm ranting and raving right now. I apologize. And I looked at him and I said, what is your problem? Oh, well, you know, I don't like this eye thing and I don't like this. And I said, well, you know what? You're taking it out on me and I'm so frustrated. I said, go out and yell at the birds. But I just wanted to call and say thank you. You helped me to take a different spin on it. And not always. Sometimes I get very sad and depressed. But thank
and
you.
Did it take you 47 years to look at him and say, what is your problem?
Well, I would think it every day.
But did you ever say it?
What's wrong with you? Oh, I said, why are you doing that? Or what's
okay,
the problem?
Okay, that's fair. What are you doing? Yeah, why are you doing this? That's fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just frustrated and I need to get it out.
See, you're doing something that the shrinks tell you to do. When somebody is giving you all kinds of complaints about this and that and how you're falling short, rather than disputing their complaints, in other words, I'm not a doctor, okay? I'm doing the best I can. I know how to try to put this on, and if you would go to the doctor, then maybe I could do it. See, that's disputing their complaints. Instead, you focused on the process. Why are you doing this? Why are you getting yourself so upset? Or this is my favorite. You want one, a good one? I'll give you a good one. Are you done yet? I really like that one. Are you done yet? Like in essence, you're saying, Ann, I really don't understand why you're saying all these things and you're directing them at me. I didn't do anything.
Oh, he told me he doesn't have anybody else to yell at. I'm like, well, go yell at the birds.
There you go. Yeah. I think, it really does come down to, in some respects, if you know the trigger is happening and he's doing the exact same thing, you kind of look at him. If you can master the look that really says, I don't understand you at this time. Just like a puzzled sort of, what is this? Rather than defending yourself, rather than trying to dispute what he says, rather than saying, stop it, whatever it is, you just look at him like, what? Excuse me? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey, are you coming to the TV show?
I'm not. I have a bum leg, and I went and left, you know.
We have seats for bum legs. You can get up at any time.
Well, I'll think about it.
You can get up at any time you want. Okay, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
August 8th, August 19th and 20th. It's WNED Studios, downtown Buffalo. You don't have to remember all this because it's on their website. If you go to thestationofthecross.com, their homepage has a sign up.
Okay.
And if you like Father Larry Richards, he's going to be there all Tuesday night, the whole time, both shows.
Okay.
So, in fact, we'd love to see you. And by the way, your leg is bum. You can get up at any time, walk out, go get a rest, go to the bathroom. That's okay. And I will make fun of you in front of a national audience. Hey, I have no scruples.
Thank you for brightening my day.
You're a sweetheart. God bless you, dear. Bye.
God bless you. Take care. Bye.
Geraldine, Kingston, Ontario. Hello, Geraldine.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I've heard you today talk to several people who are dealing with difficult interactions with other people, and I have a suggestion.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. you don't show mercy when somebody is being nice to you. You show it when they're being the contrary. And every time you have a difficult interaction with somebody, you have an opportunity to show mercy. And
see this, Geraldine? This is why I hate calls like yours. Because you've taken it to a much more beautiful spiritual level, which I didn't do. Which shows my own deficiency on this.
Well, you're a great psychologist. You're a highly trained professional in these things. So you speak as one. I just saw it from another angle.
I think it's a beautiful angle, my dear. It truly is.
I had
is.
Asked the Lord this morning, you said, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So give me opportunities to show mercy. And I thought, that's a dangerous prayer there.
It sure is. Yeah, Lord, give me opportunities to be charitable. But not too many. Not too many. Oh,
no,
Geraldine.
Don't overdo it, Lord.
Just a couple
but
a day.
Anyway.
Bless your heart, honey. I got to go. They're going to cut me off. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Ray. Always a delight to be with you. Walk with our Lord. He'll walk with you. He'll walk with you. You're the one that has to lead that walk, not him.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.